Welcome to the Business Post Media Matters podcast. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the first ever Media Matters podcast presented by myself, Colette Sexton, news correspondent at the Sunday Business Post. In each episode, we will talk to an expert in the media and marketing industry and pick their brain on the topics that matter. Joining me in studio today is Mark Horgan, one of the founders of media production company Second Captains. Of course, Second Captains is famous for creating Ireland's most listened to podcast. Well, for now, Media Matters might knock it off its perch in time. Second Captains previously produced and presented the Off the Ball show on News Talk for 8 years. In March 2013, the team, Owen McDevitt, Ken Early, Kieran Murphy, Simon Hick and Mark Horgan set up the media production company. It has been a whirlwind ever since, with TV, radio, live events and online work keeping them very busy. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Colette.
Can you take us back to 2013 when you were first coming up with the concept of Second Captains? There were some questions over how it would work, particularly since the team had been so successful on radio for so long.
Well, it kind of wasn't something that it was by necessity rather than planning, to be honest with you, because we had originally, when we were working with News Talk, we had, I suppose, planned on staying on there at the for a longer period of time, but starting a show a little bit earlier on in the day. And then when that didn't work out and we couldn't come to an agreement there, we kind of quite quickly had to come up with a new plan about what we were going to do. Yeah, so it wasn't really... I'd like to say it was some sort of thing that was well thought out in advance and that we had this plan for, you know, in 5 years time we'd be doing this and going independent and stuff like that. It actually wasn't like that at all. But when we did have to kind of decide quite quickly exactly what we wanted to do, essentially, you know, we basically for a long time had wanted to try out television and also wanted to, keep the audio side of things going in some shape or form, and then realized actually just as a way of combining both of those works to continue with the TV series, to get a TV series up and running and all the time commitments that would involve, actually podcasting as another medium could work alongside that really effectively. So it was just a case of deciding upon that, first of all, deciding that we wanted to give TV a go, and then kind of organically out of that podcasting came about. And then quite quickly we saw that actually there's, you know, potential for big audiences here and potential for this to be kind of the more dominant part of what the production company does.
So you originally linked up with the Irish Times for the podcast, but then earlier this year you kind of cut ties with that partner and launched the Second Captains World Service. So what is that and how does that work?
Well, what the World Service is essentially a subscription model. So it's a member-led independent model for podcasting. So essentially it's without any advertising. It's a podcast stream that has six shows during the week. And it's completely member-led, so funded by the 8,000 subscribers that we have at the moment. And essentially it's a way of broadcasting directly to them without the necessity of having media partners or sponsors or anything like that. So we've been working with the Irish Times for, nearly 4 years. And I suppose we just recognized that there was an audience there. We recognized that the landscape of media was changing quite a lot, whether that be because of, you know, the whole upheaval with Trump last year. You know, we could see those changes in the success of the Guardian subscription models, the success of kind of the New York Times, the Washington Post, all those sorts of elements were. Sunday Business Post, of course, that was just the next one. It was just jumped in there right in front of me, Colette. But we kind of saw that there was an opportunity there. But also it was a case of, we wanted to broadcast more. We were just doing 4 shows a week with the Irish Times, 2 on Mondays and 2 on Thursdays. And, you know, to do more shows, that needed greater investment. And it just seemed that the best way of going forward with that was put it in the hands of our listeners and hope that they would come on board with us.
So you have 8,000 subscribers a month paying £5 a month. So how is that what you expected, or is that more or less than what you expected?
It's much more than we expected. So because it was a complete shot in the dark. To be honest, the guide that we went with in some respects was a podcast over in the States called Chapo Trap House, which is kind of a left wing political podcast that we saw had gone down the subscription model. And they had also kind of a similar sort of amount of listeners on their regular podcast on a Monday. And then they had a pay for podcast on a Thursday. So basically we saw that, you know, they were able to get a lot of those listeners to, it's almost like a cult podcast, and, you know, they were committed to the show, and they were able to get a lot of those people to you know, show their commitment by paying €5 a month. So for us, it was a shot in the dark. We didn't really have an idea of whether it was going to take on or not. We just kind of put it in the hands of our listeners, really, and, you know, thought that if it did work out, it would be kind of a really clear cut and positive way for us to work for a good few years, you know, on. So, initially, to be honest, we thought if we were able to get to 5,000 subscribers in the first year, it would be a big success for us, and we'd be delighted. And we hit 4,000, I think, in the first week, and 5,000 within 2 weeks, I think. So it was much more than we thought possible, and we're definitely recognized that it's something that you develop over time, and that, you know, it's we've got those 8,000 subscribers now, and it's absolutely brilliant. But it's a case of having to hold on to those people now and to continuously develop good content that's going to keep those people interested, you know.
So are you rolling in the cash now?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. You know, there's as you can imagine, there's loads of other elements and expenses that are involved in putting this together, and, you know, the other staff that we need to get involved, and you know, we've decided to develop much more programming than we had before. So we have a show with Richie Sadlier, we've a political podcast with Ken, we've our own studios in town here, and, you know, there's obviously loads of different expenses. But that aside, it's not, this probably doesn't make a lot of sense on a Sunday Business Post podcast, but it's never been for us about making vast sums of money out of this. It's about being able to do the work that we want to do and the work that we enjoy, and to stay working together as a group of friends, and to develop it as independently and as we can, and not to have any outside influences as much as possible, you know. So it's a nice feeling for us to be able to have the freedom to do the work that we want to do, and not to have the pressures kind of hanging over in some respects of, you know, media partners. And you know how much the landscape changes all the time. Media partners can easily decide at any time, or editors or whoever, commissioners can decide this isn't for us. So there's a certain obviously extra freedom with this, and that's what is kind of the motivation for us, and always has been.
So it was almost a risk to stay with, you know, You guys have built up so much with the two brands in terms of News Talk and the Irish Times, but it's a risk to stay with those kind of brands as well as to move away from them. So it must have been a toss up.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's quite a simple thing, really. I suppose you're always going to have concerns about whether, like I was saying, about whether, you know, down the line, whether a sponsor will want to stay involved, or, you know, they'll have to go in the direction of that they want to go that suits their, you know, whatever campaigns they're doing and all those sorts of elements. Now, it didn't happen with us, but there are things that will clearly happen, you know, can happen down the line. So this just gives you something much more tangible about the your listeners paying directly for something that that they want in their lives, and they want, you know, to be able to tune into every day. And there's, you know, I kind of like that link up.
So last year, Second Captains took over the Murray McCallan show on Sundays at 10 a.m. on RT Radio 1 for the summer. And you guys are back again at that this year. And between that, 6 podcasts a week, live events and everything else you guys are up to, how are you fitting in the time to do it all?
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's tricky enough for the moment, to be honest. We probably underestimated it, but it's, you know, last week, for example, it was a 7-day week, and it's going to be like that this week as well. It's just basically trying to manage our podcast a little bit better. We're putting a little bit more emphasis on the Players Share podcast with Richie Sadlier, and with the political podcast over the next few months. So say, for example, this week we've got, you know, today we download Cusick and Kevin McStay in our studio for a regular show. And then tomorrow we'll have a podcast with Players Chair with David Ford, and where Richie traveled over to London to interview him. And then we'll do a political podcast on Friday. So we're trying to vary where we can take Ken, we can take Owen away from certain projects. So he'll you know, he's obviously the main presenter on a Sunday. So it's basically just trying to manage all those elements and working a lot of hours and, you know, kind of trying to take a few more people on board. And it's a bit of a struggle, to be honest, but it's good. It's like, you know, it's a big audience on a Sunday morning on RT Radio 1. So, you know, we recognize that that's a big opportunity for us. It's kind of a bit of an honor to be given a slot like that on national radio.
Do you like getting back to live radio?
Yeah, I do, because we missed out for a lot of years on correspondence with direct correspondence through text on the shows that we used to have on the radio show. So it's nice to have that. It's nice to be able to for people to react straight away on Twitter and stuff like that, and for us to get back to them. From kind of a producer's point of view and an editor's point of view, sometimes doing the podcast, it means that you can, you can actually edit the piece into a really nice, or edit the shows into a really nice, quite tight 45 minute show. And there's the lads are so relaxed in that environment that sometimes I think that we can get the kind of best out of our presenters. But so there, obviously there's a few more nerves on a Sunday morning, but it's also a bit of a buzz as well, I suppose. You know, you kind of get that immediate interaction with listeners. So yeah, it's a bit of a balance. I think it's healthy to have a bit of a balance between the two. But it's obviously, it's not something that we can do throughout the year the whole time. It's kind of just for the summer months. It's quite a nice little balance at the moment.
Will we see you guys returning to TV?
I hope so. Certainly not in this year. Maybe in 2018. It's basically when we launched the World Service, that we literally don't have any time to do television this year. And also, it's in 2016, we weren't able to do the Series 6, the Second Captain's Live, at the start of 2016. And then at the end of 2016, it didn't suit RTE, which is always going to be the case. And, you know, we kind of have to fit into each other's schedules. So I'm not sure. I would say that potentially, we might be able to free up a little bit of time next year to pitch a few newer ideas, but it's not really a priority for us at the moment. The priority is the World Service for sure, and trying to kind of build that base as much as we can.
So in terms of podcasting, maybe as a newbie, you can give me some tips. So what do you think is the secret to a good podcast?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I think it's a tricky one. Personally, sometimes I think this might seem like quite common sense, but I think in a presenter is the kind of really natural tone. Sometimes I think that it's often in a lot of podcasts, it's almost mechanical and quite scripted. And what I quite like about, my favorite podcast is when it's much more conversational in tone and much more relaxed, because I don't know, it feels like you're with a podcast when you're listening to them. It's almost like a more direct connection with a listener than sometimes a radio show. That's kind of what I feel anyway. I also think that it's the ability to react to breaking news a lot of the time from our perspective, to put stuff, content out quite quickly. And that can be really impactful, and can often, you know, radio shows or particular radio presenters, you have to wait till a certain time till they come on air, until you get the kind of breaking news, or if there's, you know, informed analysis that the Sunday Business Post can give from your journalist, that actually, oh, we have to wait until a certain time. Well, you don't. You can put something out straight away, and people can get the opinions of, you know, the voices that they want to hear on certain subjects straight away. So be speedy is what I'm saying, Colette.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. And so, have you had any disasters to date?
We have had a couple of recording disasters, yeah. Like disasters is from a production side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. I'm not going to name the names of the people that...
bad interviewees, is that the issue?
No, not at all. It's bad technical prowess from our presenters. So going out to interview a major guest, and for the basically to realize that the recorder wasn't on throughout the
whole interview. Everyone's nightmare.
Yeah, but then to go back and ask the presenter for to ask the guest for another interview, and then for the the equipment to be faulty the second time.
No.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Oh, that is the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, that's a while ago though. But yeah, that happened. That was a nightmare.
Where do you think podcasting is going?
I don't know. I think it's appears to be something that is you know, maybe indicated by you guys starting a podcast as well, but it seems to be something that has become a lot more popular, certainly in Ireland, over the last 6 months or even less than that. I've kind of noticed a lot of new podcasts coming up on iTunes. So I think that people are starting to recognize that there's absolutely a place for them. And I think that in the larger sphere of podcasts worldwide, that they can actually be a hugely popular medium, and that they can be quite a dominant medium in the media landscape over a certain period of time, you know, with, you know, obviously the Serial and S-Town and all the rest, they're absolutely huge podcasts with a big influence. So I think that's going to continue. I don't see any reason why it won't. And I think that there, I think people like, there seems to be a bit of a change as well, like I referred to a little bit earlier, where people like high quality content, that there's a bit of time spent putting it together, that there's thought put into it, and that it's delivered easily and packaged easily for something that they can access on the mobile, on their mobile or tablet, but not something that is, I find, stressful when I'm looking up my Twitter feed or I'm looking to access something online and you're directed to something that's full of ads, or you're directed to something that's, you know, a story that's not really a story, or it's pulled from something else or some other medium. There's lots of kind of stuff that just fills your brain.
So let's focus on you for a minute. So you come from a very successful family. Your brother Shane was an Irish rugby player. Your sister Sharon is a successful actress, writer, director, producer. She's responsible for The Hilarious Catastrophe and Divorce. So was there something in the water when you guys were growing up?
I don't know. I think we were just, God, our parents were so open to us trying anything and really encouraging about us trying anything that we sort of had an interest in. So whether that be sport, or obviously with, you know, the all my sisters were or two of my three sisters were big into acting, and you know, they're always really encouraging us of us trying anything. I think that's kind of was a really important thing. Mum and Dad took a lot of chances in their kind of careers. You know, they owned a pub in London for a lot of years, then they moved over to Ireland and opened up a pub in Laois, and then they started up a farm in Ballyshannon, a turkey farm where we grew up on. So they changed businesses quite a lot. They took chances, but they, you know, they were brave enough to go ahead with those things. And I think so they're certainly very influential on me anyway.
So they instilled that entrepreneurial spirit into you guys.
Yeah, I think maybe just to try and do stuff that you want to do. And for me, I got influenced hugely by my sisters and by my brother as well. So they were always very encouraging. I'm the youngest in the family, so they're always very encouraging of me to try and do exactly what I wanted to do. And
did you want to become an Irish rugby player?
Yeah, but when I had absolutely no ability in that regard, then, you know, you could wipe that one off the list straight away. But yeah, of course I did. And a Meath Gaelic footballer and a soccer player and all the rest. But yeah, so it was they've kind of, I think we've all been kind of very encouraging of each other. We're a very close family. So it's really helpful to kind of to be able to get advice and to get encouragement from Sharon and Shane and from my other two sisters as well.
So you and the lads on the second captain's team, you've been working together quite a long time now. So do you think you'll stick together?
Yeah, definitely. I certainly want to anyway, not speaking for the rest of the lads, but we're a really close group of friends, and you know, as much as we'd annoy each other from time to time, of course, it's I think you can find a balance of work that you do outside of second captains, as well as, you know, the very clear-cut programming that we do together. So, you know, Ken does a lot of writing for the Times, and so does Murph, and they're probably nice elements of their working life to have that separate them from us from time to time, you know. So yeah, in to be honest, in whether it be keeping other projects on the go as well as second captains, but for us to certainly continue to work together in the future, that's definitely what I would like, for sure.
And like, second captains has had phenomenal success to date, so what's next?
I think for us it's maybe to improve the offering that we're able to give to members. So it's probably down the line to hopefully expand the amount of programming that we're doing, to increase the amount of shows, the kind of different types of shows that we're doing, to maybe to move a little bit into entertainment down the line, as well as the kind of politics stuff that we do occasionally now. And then also to kind of just get a better understanding of exactly the sort of member model, what we can learn from the member model and how we can develop it, because it's also new and we're figuring it out as we're going along. So I kind of like to look at us offering more maybe live events to our members and stuff like that, and building that relationship a little bit more. But it's, to be honest, it's to try and secure the world service as much as possible, to give our listeners as many kind of positive elements in that as we can.
And if people want to subscribe, how can they get on there?
Just go to secondcaptains.com and press join, and it's pretty straightforward, I think, and it's €5 a month. So yeah, that would be absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
That's all for the first Media Matters podcast. Thanks to my guest, Mark Horgan, and thanks to all of you for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please share the podcast across Facebook, Twitter, and any other social media channels you're on. If you have any feedback or suggestions for future interviewees, you can tweet me on Colette_Sexton. Be nice though. Until next time.